Okay.
Okay, well, welcome. We're here at the Finance and Judiciary Committee, Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I'd like to welcome you all to the meeting and call it to order. Anybody with any changes to the agenda?
I just noticed one thing, and that was the, speaking about the pandemic, there's, the council had approved a program. Another one never made it to a program. It was mentioned, but I don't think it could be called a program because it never did go any further than our mayor at the time saying it was something to think about. So I just wanted to make sure that was.
Is that in the minutes?
It's in the minutes. It says the other program was a business loan, but it was never a program because it didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Oh, you want to, is that a correction to the minutes? You'd like to, point out to Director Crocker? Okay, let's hold off on that for just a second. Any changes to the agenda?
No.
Okay. Director Crocker, any changes to the agenda tonight?
Not for me.
Okay. So we're going to move on to approval of the minutes, and Counselor Thomas has a comment there. It sounds like it's on page.
Two.
Page two.
So can you give me that correction again?
Looks like it's in paragraph three of page two. And go ahead, Counselor Thomas.
It just said the other program was a business loan. And it never was a program because it was just a remark made by our mayor at the time about thinking about it, but it never became a program, so I didn't know if that needed to be addressed.
Well, it says programs considered.
Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't, we didn't have, it never was.
Considered.
It was mentioned, but that was it. And I just wanted to make sure because I know we're supposed to.
Okay, yeah, I think it's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up. Any other comments on our minutes? Okay. Great. Let's talk about public comment for items not listed on the agenda tonight. I forgot. Director Crocker, do we have people online still?
No.
Is that available, though?
It is available, yes.
Okay. Okay, so I guess we're looking for public comments here in the room or from online. And seeing none at this time, let's move on to item number five. Turn the time over to you, Director.
Okay, so I'm just going to review the document and kind of lay it out as to what's here. They provided a pretty deep study, a lot of information. So it took me a couple of times through it to kind of understand the whole thing. So this is a compensation comparison study done by Portland State University. It was requested by council. An RFP was done, and the contract was awarded to Portland State University. There was an update done, and a couple of or three additional positions were added to it, and then it was forwarded to the city by PSU, and of course it comes back to this committee for consideration. And so this is your first chance to look at this since it's come back to us. There are, so for this group, this is the non-represented group, which is for the most part the management of the city, administration, finance, public works director, public works superintendent, police chief, etc. And of course, I put a list of those positions on the front page of the AIS. And there's one exception to that. Number 11, the librarian, is actually a represented position. So this particular study for this group hasn't been done for at least 10 years. I think it was back before 2010, I know. There are 14 positions. The numbers where you see dollars, they're based on the fiscal year 1920 compensation schedule because that's what was available at the time. But the numbers that they compare to are always going to be comparable numbers, so you don't have to be concerned about that. It's the bottom line percentage, percentages really, that kind of tell you what the results are. So there's a summary on page 7. If you kind of leaf through this document, at the bottom of page 7, it kind of starts to summarize there and goes on to page 8 and 9, I guess. If you read through that, that gives you an overview of the whole thing. You'll notice that throughout the document and in the tables, there was where it listed the cities, Eugene and Springfield were both listed. And tell you the truth, I don't know why they would do that, except that they are geographically, you know, near Junction City. But they did provide the same set of all the tables without Eugene and Springfield. And so as I go through this, that's what I'm going to be referring to, is just the list of 8 cities that are all comparable to Junction City. So if you look at, let's see.
Okay, let's take a pause just for a minute, Director. Okay, so obviously this is a big stack of information, and I'm glad that we're reviewing it. Does anybody have any questions right now? I have a couple questions before we get too far into it, so I don't lose track of them. Okay. But I don't want to hog it if anybody else has.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what can you help me understand the word compression?
That's what happens.
I hear that periodically, that word, and I've never quite understood it. So.
Okay, yeah, it's been brought up several times that I remember, usually in relation to the police department, because you've got a group of police officers where the potential for overtime is pretty high, and with the staffing and issues with trying to fill positions, that generates more overtime. And when you have a police officer who's a senior police officer getting a pretty large chunk of overtime, what happens is then their total salary for a month will be more than, say, the deputy chief that's over them.
Okay.
And so when the salary schedules get too close, you have those kinds of things that happen as we process payroll from month to month. So that's the issue of compression.
Okay, so pardon me, I just want to stop for just a second and make sure I understand that, because part of what drove this whole process that's taken, you know, 2 or 3 years to get to bring it to our attention tonight, is that issue. That's part of the underlying reason why this committee 2 years ago asked for the RFP, and mm-hmm. Am I understanding that right?
Well, I can't speak to all of the discussion, you know,
prior to this.
I mean, in my mind, this group, like I said, hasn't been looked at for more than 10 years. Uh-huh. I would guess about 12 or 13 years.
Uh-huh.
And the other positions, of course, the represented positions are all covered by their union contracts, all your Ask Me, Public Works, and a lot of the, you know, those employees. And then your police association, of course, covers all your police officers. Mm-hmm. So this group, you know, is a separate group that, you know, has to be, if you're going to look at it, I mean, it's initiated by, you know, this committee or council rather than a union organization, I guess
right.
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the unions kind of bring this topic to our attention more regularly. Where this group, it hasn't been brought to the council's attention, like you're saying, for 12 or 13 years.
Yeah.
So that's one of the issues. It's been a long time since we reviewed it. Another issue is this compression thing. So basically, compression is just when a lower pay scale starts pushing into an upper pay scale because of overtime or some other reason. That's what the word means, compression. Like it's getting too close, like my boss is earning less than I am, I'm compressing.
That's what you hear, like, among staff members. But overtime, in my mind, overtime makes it stand out like this is potentially really not quite right. But we do know that you have some positions that, let's say police officers, where you've got police officers that have been looked at over the last, 5 years or so, several times, and there's been some adjustments to their comp schedules in the union, you know, negotiations have come into play. So their schedules have come up, but yet the deputy chief and the chief really haven't, because they're part of this group.
Right.
And so the police just accentuates that that issue, but it really, you would think, would be the same. You'd really have the same problem in all the departments.
Okay.
It just doesn't show up.
Sure.
So I have a,
you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, but our deputy chief just got a $300 or $400 a month raise when they hired him on in, I can't remember what month it was. Is that correct?
Well, okay, so the deputy chief isn't new to the city, but he has had a couple of adjustments over the years.
Correct. When he became the deputy chief.
Yeah. Okay. If that's what you're referring to, then yes.
John, I have a question for you.
Just one second. So you're pointing out, like, item number 12 on this list is the title deputy chief of police. And you're pointing out that I'm just really trying to understand this, because we never really get a look at this. It's very rare, like you said, 12 or 13 years. So what was your point you just made in terms of
when
he just got
he
a raise?
Changed positions.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it was between $300 and $400. I don't know the exact amount. The lowest was $300, but I think it was closer to $400 a month raise at that time, which has been less than a year.
Okay, so he changed positions within the department and became deputy
Correct.
Chief of police. And at that point, you're saying that bumped him into a different pay scale, director?
Well, I see
here. Something like that. I don't really need to know the exact detail, but I'm just trying to understand the general gist.
Yeah, I see here, though, that the position that was analyzed was the deputy chief of police, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to look back at the timing to see.
And I can't remember if it was
I think it's probably been a little longer than we're thinking.
Maybe close to a year, but I don't think it's been a year yet, has it?
Since he switched.
I don't know, but it is in this study, though. So yeah. I'd have to look at the timing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mike, I guess on all of the ones where they show comparisons, and I'm looking, for instance, I picked out page A4, which is for finance director. And I just... So... If we were looking, like, I go down to the line, it says medium line, it says minimum is 6542 and median is 7730 and maximum is 8600. And then we go down to Junction City and it shows the same categories for our city. This is just ranges, right?
Well, first of all, let's talk in terms of the schedule that doesn't have Eugene Springfield on it.
Right, that's A4.
No, A4 is the one
that
does include it. So go forward to A7, and you'll see the same schedule without Eugene Springfield.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah.
A7?
A7.
All right.
Yeah.
It's numbered normally, then it changes to...
Yeah.
Pages with the letter A in front of it.
Yeah, there's the report, and then there's, I guess, an attachment where they have all the schedules, and that's towards the back.
But I guess really what my question is, like when we look for Junction City, it has those minimum, medium, and max. That, though, if we're looking at how this compares to other cities, we don't know where, and I'm going to say, since this is finance director, we don't know where you currently fall within that range.
Well, but what you're looking at really is what the comp schedule, what the official authorized and adopted comp schedule is, not necessarily what an individual who has that position right now is making.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've been here long enough that I'm actually at the top scale.
Right.
Okay, and so is a lot of your senior management. I mean, You've got a public works director that's been here quite a while, and a superintendent, and of course the deputy chief and the chief. So a lot of those positions, city recorder, I mean, city administrator, we've all been here, you know, long enough, because there's only five steps. So usually once somebody has been here, say 5 years, you're probably at the top of your scale, if you didn't get there sooner.
Right.
Okay, interesting.
Because the reason I was asking that is if we were asked to make adjustments, we wouldn't want to, you know, I guess what we don't have is the experience that you know what the experience each person had in position, because they would fall then to the maximum if they're at the top scale.
Well,
I mean, if their experience put them to top.
Okay, it might be helpful if I just kind of kept going here and kind of went through these tables a little bit. I was going to pick one as an example, kind of like you have, and talk about that.
Okay.
As an example, and kind of go over, kind of summarize, you know, what does this table mean? It's fairly complex. It took me a little bit to really grasp, you know, what these things mean. You got medians and averages and all that kind of stuff.
Well, are you okay if we pause the questions for a minute and then go back to the presentation a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to that for now, Director Crocker. Thank you.
So let's go back to page 8 in the study part, towards the beginning.
Okay.
So that table there, table 3 at the bottom of page 8. So that summarizes in one table all 14 positions and where in total, based on all the compensation that they included, where Junction City falls. The first column of percentages are the ones that include Eugene Springfield, so you can ignore those. The column to the right is the one that doesn't include Eugene Springfield. So you can glance down those percentages and see there's some pretty big negative ones. There's also some pretty big positive ones. So, you know, that's a summary, but I think it takes a little more analysis to kind of really to make sense of those. On the next page, page 9, so another thing that they consider is paid time off. It's commonly called PTO time, which includes vacation, holiday pay, and apparently some cities offer executive leave also. So PTO, they look at what every city in the study has, and they assign a value to it and add it to the total compensation numbers later on in the report. Mm-hmm. So that's how that's handled. They consider whatever holiday or vacation days that you award to a position, that's got a dollar value to it, which my understanding is, in reading through this, I think that's just the hourly rate times the number of hours. I think it's a simple calculation. Let's see. So the things, all the things that they include as total compensation. So we've talked about salary, paid time off. They also include the PERS IAP contributions. And if you remember me talking about PERS, that's the 6% that the city picks up for the employees. But that doesn't really affect the study because virtually everybody in Oregon pays that 100%. So, and they said that in here.
The same, but 6%?
Yeah, the same 6%. Health insurance, whatever portion the city pays, Junction City pays 100%. Which a lot of cities do, not all do though. So they do take that into account. But those things don't seem to affect the study too much, I noticed. Really it seems to be salary. 'Cause even a difference in vacation pay, when you calculate that out by the dollar, that's not a large amount. we'll talk here in a minute. I'm going to show you an example, but there's a reason why I think for our purposes, including all of the things that they included in our discussions, is a good thing. And I'll show you an example of that in a minute. Any budget impact that you might ask me for, by the way, is going to be based on $22, $23, fiscal year, $22, $23. So just so you're aware of that, because that's what I'm working on right now. And of course, that would be the most meaningful. So there are also, I want to bring to your attention, of the 14 positions, there are four of them that currently are authorized by council, but are not filled or not budgeted. So if we talk about any budget impact, it's going to be the budget impact, but less those four positions. And let's see, I don't think I gave you a list of those, but that's the HR administrative manager, the police sergeant position, the librarian, and the city planner. So those are all current positions that are still on our comp schedules. And they're there because the thought is you generally don't want to delete those positions because in the future, it's reasonable to think that you might need those again. Staffing changes, you might make a change at the library or somewhere else. So,
Dr. Crocker, just a second. Are you two okay if we allow public comment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to let Mr. Sumner ask a question or make a comment.
Okay.
My question is, Mr. Chair, is when we brought on the deputy chief position that was supposed to replace the sergeant, not additional. My understanding. Is that not correct?
Do you want me to answer? Well, the position, the sergeant position is not budgeted.
It doesn't.
So, you have it in unless.
Your list of employee schedules, it can be filled, right?
No. We'd have to go back to council and ask for it to be budgeted. So it's only on the schedules really for convenience for the future. If, let's say, the police department was reorganized and for some reason it was agreed with council that that position was needed again, then it could be used. So it's really just out of convenience because if we delete it and we stop updating those numbers, then you have to go through something like this to reestablish, you know, what the pay for that position should be.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I have a similar recollection. I thought something like that in my, so it sounds like they kind of did do that. They replaced it, but it's still in the records as a potential position, but we haven't filled it right now. Councilor Thomas.
Is that why we don't have a city planner either? Isn't that correct?
Correct.
Okay, the same idea?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Exactly the same.
Those four positions, one more time, were city planner, librarian,
HR.
HR and sergeant. Administrative manager.
And then the sergeant, the police sergeant?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, good questions. Anything else right now?
Okay. So, you said, I agree we don't have a city planner, but then our planning technician, then she falls up. She must fall under the hourly.
Yeah, she's a union employee.
Because does she split two positions, or is she just mainly now in the building department?
I don't have that with me, but I believe she's allocated between at least a couple of departments. Planning would be one of them, obviously, mm-hmm. and administration most likely is the other place.
So then she would fall into one of those as far as the union was concerned then. I mean, because it goes by job description and she's got two different jobs. I'm just curious.
Well, as I believe her title, is planning technician,
right,
which is on the comp schedule. Not this schedule. The one that's on here is a planner, a city planner.
Well, but it does list in there that some cities have a planning technician. I mean, they were using that as a comparison.
Well, no, planning technician is not part of this study.
Right.
Because that's a union position. a planner, a city planner, which is a higher level of expertise, is in this study, yes.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
There are some interesting...
I'm enjoying these questions and this discussion. It's good to get things. Into this. So, Director Crocker, continue a little bit.
Okay, another point that I think is really good to understand for the committee. So on this table on page 9 that we were just talking about, the PTO table. Mm-hmm. So paid time off has an interesting aspect of it when it comes to the cost and the budget. So, you know, if your schedule is that you award, let's say, 4 weeks a year to the public works director, and let's say he takes off those 4 weeks in like July, September, December, and May, so he uses those 4 weeks during the year, there is no budget cost to those because that doesn't change his monthly salary, right? It just means that he's given the opportunity to be gone for that week.
Okay.
So a lot of people probably don't think about that, but in the budget, those hours are not budgeted. Because there's no cost, no extra cost to the city, because his salary hasn't changed when he takes a time off, right? So the benefit is in this study is that if you want budget impact numbers, and let's say you want to make some kind of adjustment, when you're looking at the total compensation that includes those paid time off, then you've got the benefit of being able to increase somebody's compensation, in effect, but it doesn't cost you anything in the budget. So there's benefit to the employee and the city there, at least in my eyes. The place where that stops, though, is where you have in all both your union contracts and your personnel manual allow for employees to cash in excess vacation that they won't use. So if if your public works director decides, well, I'm just not going to use all of my vacation, then they could cash in a week of vacation, which would cost the city money. And we do budget for that. I budget a certain amount in most of the departments for the possibility that they might cash in a week.
Instead of using...
Or 2 weeks, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not a huge amount to the budget. We probably, I was thinking, and I didn't look this up, we probably budget something like 10 weeks, and I could be a little off, across all the employees. So it's not a lot, but it is accounted for. So I just bring that up so that when you're looking at PTO and what that cost is on these tables, keep that in mind, that that's not necessarily going to increase your budget. Let's see. So then in here, pages 12 through 25, there's a lot of job description analysis and stuff, and which is all great information. I think the city staff could use that to compare to our job descriptions, see, you know, if there's anything there we could glean. And then the individual tables, so starting with A1 that we jumped to a few minutes ago, I was going to use the one on A16 for discussion. And that's the city recorder position. And again, this is the one that doesn't have Eugene Springfield in it.
Okay, A16. Okay. Everybody find that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know if you leaf through this enough and maybe figured it out, but basically for every position, there's three tables. The first one is the one that includes the comparables with Eugene Springfield. The second one is the job description elements. And then this is the third one, which doesn't include Eugene Springfield. So it kind of helps to know what the organization of the document is.
Right.
So they give you, so the salary section, the first, there's like three kind of little tables in here. So the salary, the base salary section there, those three columns on the left, so that's your comp schedule range. So you have your different positions and council approves a comp schedule. And so you have your low and high, and then they computed the median, which is a middle figure. It's the middle of the range, basically. And then you've got the adjustments that they call them, which are your PTO and vacation and PERS that we talked about. And then they add it together, and the three columns to the right where they have labeled adjusted comp with PTO is kind of the total compensation package. And they present it in a minimum amount to the maximum amount by city. And then you see, if you look down towards the bottom of that section, you see Junction City. And above that, actually, I skipped over. I should make sure everybody's with me. These are hard.
I remember all this.
Is everybody finding where I'm at?
Yes.
So I'm in the adjusted comp with PTO column. Okay. And then you go down, and where the cities stop, then you've got the average of each of those columns and the median, so the middle point for each of those range, those eight cities. And then it shows Junction City. And then it shows the percentage difference to the average and the median for Junction City as compared to those eight comparables. So you should see across the average, you see it's 10.2% negative, negative 15.9, and negative 20.3. Does everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So not all of them, if you leaf through all of these and you look at that summary table at the beginning, not all of them are negative, though. I mean, there are a couple of them that are pretty large positive numbers. I think there was at least one that was kind of close. And then some of them that are negative like this. So moving forward, if the committee wanted to direct staff, like to bring more analysis, I could give you, you know, some kind of an impact analysis, as long as you gave me some parameters to kind of shoot for. And my thought is some kind of direction, maybe two or three levels that might address the percentage line. So if you wanted to adjust that by a certain amount, what would it cost in next year's budget? And maybe at two or three levels, you know, maybe if you increased it by 10% or 15% or 20 or whatever, or leave it alone. You know, you could direct me however you want.
Mike, would it be comparable cities? Like for our size?
These cities?
Yeah, to say, so most of them don't look like they're Bonita, probably is.
They're all what I would consider in this range. I believe I didn't look these up. I could have. I'm familiar with most of these cities. I actually could have brought a schedule to give you actual populations, but
that's on page 5. Page 5 has a chart with populations of all
the. It actually has the populations.
Yep.
Okay, I skipped over that. Oh, okay. Yeah, it does. So ignoring Eugene Springfield, you see those are all, yeah, where I thought they were, between 4,000 and I thought there were a couple of them that were closer to 10,000, but doesn't look like it. Actually, our population that just came out, I don't know if it's been mentioned at council yet, but we went over 7,000.
I bet.
Like 7,032. That's like,
right.
That's a new
huge.
High.
Yeah. And my other question would be, you know, like Brookings is on the coast, so it probably gets a lot of people that are going in.
Tourists,
there you go.
Oh, I suppose.
It might make a difference, because it looks like it's one of the higher.
Yeah, I can't really speak to why one city or another would be higher or lower. So you have those percentages. So back to A16. So you have those percentages that are different than the average or the median. I think as far as direction, if you wanted any budget impact analysis, I think if you gave me maybe a percentile or two or three of them, maybe that would, I think that would work, because the percentages are going to vary based on, you know, every table is going to be different. Right. 10% is going to mean a different number on every table, because it's based on what those numbers are, those salaries. Not all of the tables have the same position, you know, for every city. There are a couple of them that where they didn't have that position. Like the, I think it was the police admin assistant, I think was, they only had a couple of them. And I think there was another one too. So I think the percentile levels, you know, would be helpful. But anyway.
Wouldn't you want that by position also? Because they're not all the same.
I think if you gave me the percentile number and said, give me this table, then I would have to work backwards and figure out, okay, so what percentage is that to increase or whatever. So I've been kind of studying this the last couple of days, trying to figure out exactly, you know, put some thought into how that would work. So the percentage, you couldn't tell me a percentage to change it, because that's different for every position. It's 10% here, but the same number of dollars could be 20% on the next one, on the next table. So the percentile does correspond, you know, I could compute that for each table and figure out then mathematically what that percentage change is. For this one, I think when I was fiddling with it, if this is the one I was doing, I think 10% was around, if you adjusted it to zero, that'd be like the 75th percentile. So anyway, that's some math though that I would work out, and I'd verify. You know, I was thinking I would even probably call these guys to verify that I understand, you know, what I'm reading. So anyway, that was my thoughts.
Couple questions. Let's ask a few questions. So do you know who decided which cities to compare to? It says in the introduction that they were asked to compare Junction City with 9 other cities. Was similar, but I'm just curious, who picked the 9 cities?
Well, generally, I wasn't part of that discussion, but generally, this is an outside consultant. They're the experts, and so if you tell them, I want a comparative salary study for these positions, they take it from there.
Uh-huh.
Because statistically, they have to pick, you know, cities that are comparable, so within a certain range. So we're not going to be the ones that tell them, you know, how to do their job.
Which cities?
Yeah.
So they would probably have some information on that already.
Yeah. There's okay. Plenty of information out there to,
yeah,
to nail that down.
Okay. So when you say, 10%, what do you mean? Like you say, you're asking us to give you some direction, and you say maybe you would tell me to do 10%. 10% of what?
Well, okay, so you still have A16 in front of you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you know that negative 10.2 there in that minimum column over, yep, in the adjusted stuff? Okay. So if you wanted to make that zero, mm-hmm, let's say, or you wanted, you know, to be right on the average, let's say, I could figure out, you know, that's what I meant by 10%. Okay, that's the percentage that I was referring to.
Okay. So, okay. Right, so if we said some percentages, then you could figure out what the impact to the budget would be if council was to make those adjustments with the help of the process, right?
Correct.
Okay. So then, now I understand that point, but so what were you then saying about that would then correlate to 75%, 75 percentile?
Okay, so I'm not a statistics person, but my understanding is, and maybe somebody can correct me, maybe, but my understanding is, so percentile is basically a ranking.
Okay.
And the best analogy that I could come up with, so if you have, and you hear about this in sports a lot, so basically if you have a list of teams or you have a list of cities, if you put their salaries in order, like 1 through 10 or something, and you're number 5, then you are at the 50th percentile. Okay. There are the same number, there's, you know, you're the 5th one on the list. So that's what percentile means. It's really just a ranking among your peers, which is why picking your peers is really important, that they have done a good job of that. You can't include, you know, that's why you can't include Eugene Springfield.
Right.
These are all cities that are similar to Junction City in size and functions. Uh-huh. So.
And then, so being in the 75th percentile in this discussion would mean that the salaries of these positions in Junction City were higher than 75% of the other cities and lower than 25% of the other cities.
Well,
in the study.
Well, you kind of, you have to really have to separate percentage and percentile. They're really not the same thing.
Well, that's what I'm asking percentile. About 75 percentile. What would that mean if we were at the 75th percentile?
Well, let's say of the 8 cities, let's say then Junction City, you know, if you said, I want to see the impact for what if we were at the 75th percentile,
uh-huh.
Okay, you'd probably be, that means what's the cost at if we were 3rd on the list,
right.
Let's say. That's probably roughly about 75th percentile.
Yeah. Okay, so I can see some of the direction that you're asking from us or from council in terms of taking the next step.
Okay.
I have a couple more questions. Does anybody else have questions before I proceed? I'm not trying to shut anybody out. So I'd like to see not just that list on page 5. I'd like to see that list on page 5 as a factor in these wages, which I don't know if that's possible, but you know, like I'd like to see the comparison by the cities based on the size of the cities, not just have that kind of be a footnote. I wonder if as the city gets bigger, we find out that the wages get higher, you know, because if Harrisburg's a smaller city, maybe the positions there pay less, you know, and when we only are talking about 7,000 people, the difference between 7,000 and 4,500 is actually a huge percentage. It's almost 25%, you know. So that's something I'd be curious about. The other thing I'd be curious about when we're looking at this study is some sort of information in the study that compares it to the citizens of Junction City, because there's a certain feeling among a lot of people in all over the country, but even here in Little Junction City, that we're paying our government people way more than an average citizen gets. I'm not saying that that's true or false, because I don't know if it's true, but there is that feeling that you got to get a government job to make it in America these days. And that kind of feeling does create a lot of resentment among normal working people, because they say, why am I working so hard so that they get PTO and PERS and time off and vacation when, you know, I'm working at the mill and I don't get any of those things. So, so those were my two comments. Those are a couple things that I'd like to also have included in the summaries that we're reviewing. which it may be outside the scope of this particular thing, but in the overall discussion, I'd like to make note of those.
So can you give me those again?
Sure.
Because I'm trying to write down...
Oh, yeah, and you always do such a good
job. Like how I can really answer those correctly.
And again, I don't know if it's true, but what I'm trying to also see is, does the size of the city actually factor into the wage of the city staff? Because if the city's 25% bigger, maybe the city administrator makes 25% more. And it's not just a factor of the name of the city, it's actually a factor of the size of the city, percentage-wise. I don't know if that's true, but I'd be curious. Because Harrisburg, you know, all the cities have these different populations, and it's actually pretty significant to go from, on our scales, to go from 3,000 in a city all the way up to 6 or 7. That's a pretty big difference in terms of the size and scope of these smaller cities. So that's one thing I'd be curious about in the overall discussion.
Okay.
And then the other thing is somewhere an acknowledgement of what our actual average taxpayer in our cities makes. What's the median wage of the people in our town? And compare that to some of these other towns. Because I think that plays a factor too. If the overall town's median wage is $50,000, maybe their city administrator in that town is making more money compared to a town whose median wage is $35,000. So I know, I think that's outside the scope of the actual Portland State University study, but in our discussion in Junction City, I'd like to talk about and acknowledge some of that information.
Okay. I think I can dig up some information on those things.
No, I'm just throwing that out there. If the committee doesn't like that or you think that's stupid, I'm open to... I'm not trying to tell them how to do it. I'm just trying to discuss this.
Well, I just might make a comment as far as what's the average salary in Lane County or what is it in Junction City. There are other things that affect that, and that's the union contracts that we... And I know we're not talking about union here, but that does affect... The supervisor. I mean, the supervisors need to make more. Police chief should make more than the police officer because he has more responsibility. He has more.
Sure.
And so we are locked into the union rates. And that's not only the union, not only the pay, but the benefits, because that's all been negotiated. Uh-huh. And we also want the best people we can get for the jobs in our city. And sometimes, you know, it could just cost you more, especially when you're competing against other cities. That's no different than a mill competing against other mills. That's no different than a drugstore competing against, you know, if supply and demand on, you know, if it's like, well, I mean, look where we are wages now. Whoever thought that the normal wage would be $15 an hour, but that's come about because of people saying, I'm not going to work unless I get this money and other things. And because 10 years ago, $15 an hour was a mighty, mighty nice raise, a nice rate for somebody. And so I guess it's not, we have to look at the whole picture. We can't just look at certain numbers. Because, like I say, you always... Sometimes you pay more, but sometimes you get more out of the person, too, because they feel like they're being rewarded or they're being paid for what they're worth. Yeah. And they may work harder for you, especially your salaried people, because they have some skin in the game. And so I just wanted to put that out there.
Good call. I'm not hearing anything else right now. I'll call on...
I agree. This survey is long overdue. You know, our represented people are paid 3% every year according to contract. They get an increase. Uh-huh. These people here, their salaries have been stagnant for a number of years. If they didn't have a fogey to the military guys, I got 2 more years in, so I get a pay raise. Uh-huh. And if you maxed out on the number of years, you can see what the salary is. one thing about charting on A16, you've got exempt and non-exempt people in there. How can you figure both in this chart? The state people made that extension, but if you have exempt and non-exempt people figured into the weight breakout, how can you do that?
Well, there was only one position that was included, and that was the librarian, that was a union position.
No, I'm speaking of this chart.
Yeah, on the right side.
Several are exempt and others
on the very not. Right column, director.
Oh. Well, what they're noting there is how is that position treated in that city? So in, you know, Brookings and Cresswell, those are exempt. So similar to the, they're treated similar to the way, than how they are here.
Right.
They're not in the union. Some of these other ones are non-exempt, so they are union positions. So
in that city, it's classified as a union position. Okay.
Yeah, so I can't really address as to whether that would skew these numbers in any way. I don't even know, tell you the truth, I don't know why they even noted that. I mean, it is an interesting...
But at Junction City, for example, is exempt. Other cities are non-exempt. Their pay scale can change every year. Our pay scale doesn't change every year. That's what I'm saying. You got apples and oranges being on this chart.
On some of the other charts, it's all exempt, or so it. You're right. That on every individual chart, there's some variation because we're comparing it with other cities who are organized differently.
And
they're trying to give us some information, but we have to take that into account. Like and think about that. You know, does that make a difference in that, in the case of that one? So I'm glad you brought that up, Jack, and I'm glad we're getting a pretty good understanding of what we have in front of us. Okay, any other questions right now for Director Crocker? Okay, Director Crocker, any other comments you'd like to make to us right now?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so that brings it back to us, and we need to decide what we want to do. So we can obviously, we have lots of options. We can get additional information from the staff. We can forward it on to the city council and carry out additional discussion there. I'm inclined to gather a little bit more information on a couple of the questions I asked, if Director Crocker was able to do that, and bring it back to this committee. But what does everybody else think? What would you like to do?
To me, that sounds like a good idea. It gives us more time to discuss. And I mean, you said you understand this a lot better. Some of it not yet.
Yeah.
And I've been over it a couple times. But so I think that we do need more time to work.
I think we do need to ask staff to bring us back a budget analysis.
Uh-huh.
We need to know what this is going to cost us, and are we going to be able to afford it? And I think, like Mike says, I think we as a committee need to give him some numbers so they can do the budget analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And because I agree with Mr. Sumner. These people, if it's been 10 years since the, let's look at the wage scale, but it's what they, you know, the maximum minimums have been. That hasn't changed in 10 years. A lot of things have changed in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And not necessarily to the good. I mean, the prices for everything else have gone up. And if our employees, if they've maxed, they're getting less for their buck, because they're spending more for rent or mortgage, and water, and food,
okay,
and all this stuff. And so that's why I'm saying I think we need to look at this, and I know it's going to take more time, but I think we need to look at this and give you, and I don't think we can be the same percentage or same percentile for every position, because there's some of these that we pay more on. There's some where we're even on.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of these, there's darn good reasons that we pay more. And I'll use our building inspector who does all the inspections. In most cities, you have a building administrator who, and you are a planning person, a building person, and you also have like two or three inspectors, or those, or you have an outside agency doing your inspections. We have a guy that's doing both. So he is paid more than anybody else on the chart, but he has a job responsibility. And we have to look at that, because for what we expect, we're paying more, and that's right. So we don't want to deduct him. But there's some, for instance, our librarian probably works less hours, and that's why they're, you look at it, and they may be half of the one up there, but they may not be working as many hours, or maybe don't have less responsibilities. So there again, that's why I'm saying these numbers can't be consistent across the board, but it can be consistent within a job classification.
That's interesting. Yeah, good point.
So I want to clarify one thing, and I just want to make sure that based on Mr. Sumner's comments too, and kind of what you're saying. So now all positions receive a cost of living increase every year. Mm-hmm. So for most of the last 10 years, and that's now what the city has done in the past for this group is that we've mirrored whatever the AFSCME contract is. For the most part, over the last 10 years, there were, I believe, a couple of years prior to when I started when the non-represented group didn't get any increase at all, not even a cost of living. But I don't have that data or when that was, but I know there were 1 or 2 years back in there. Somebody else might remember. It's been around the city longer. Mr. Sumner might remember when that was. But so through the last 10 years, most of those years, the contract with AFSCME has been at a 2% increase. The current contract just signed for back in July was calls for a 2.5% COLA increase. So I just want to make that clear. So these tables, our comp schedules for all of the employees are increased by the cost of living every July 1st based on either their contract or not non-represented following the AFSCME contract, as approved by council, of course. So where, you know, we talked about compression as an issue. The other thing that I think kind of comes into play is minimum wage going up. I have noticed that if you look at some of the union positions that are kind of on the bottom of the scale, that the distance between, percentage-wise, the distance between those bottom ones, like, say, an admin one position, entry level, you know, compared to minimum wage, that percentage is shrinking, say, 3 or 4 or 5% over the last 5 years that minimum wage has been set by the governor to go up by, I think it's been around 6% per year. It's like 50, 75% cents an hour per year. So all of those things, you know, come into play to get us to kind of, you know, what you're seeing on these tables.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, it's a very good discussion, and all these questions are, I think they're helping us understand that, like Councilor Thomas said, this is a lot of information. They worked on it for a long time. We now have it on our desk to take a look at. It's good to look at it judiciously. So let's throw some things out there to discuss the committee giving him direction. We understand now for sure that it's going to come back to the committee. We're all in consensus on that. The question is, what additional information do we want when it comes back to committee so we can keep this discussion going? So if we were to say, for example, we would like to see what it would look like if our city was in the 80th percentile. That's just one way of phrasing the thing. Mm-hmm. We could also say, what would it look like if each position was in the 80th percentile and look at them individually instead of as an average of the whole thing, right? That we could, I mean, there's 100 ways we could say what we want to see in terms of budget impact. So, committee, what would we like to see next? Just to add to the discussion, because again, it's going to come back here, so we're going to discuss it some more. We're going to have more time to look at the information. this isn't going back to Portland State for their continued work. We have their work. Now we're just giving Dr. Crocker some work to do based on the research that has been done.
I would say comparing to cities more close to our population.
Yeah, to
me that makes, you know.
I'd like more information on that point too, Councillor Thomas. I respect these nine cities and the comparison, but I'd still be curious maybe if we compared ourselves closer to Seaside and Brookings.
Well, we have like Huntsville is about the same size as we are, I believe, in Florence. I don't.
Florence wasn't part of the study.
Or Cottage Grove.
They weren't part of the what?
They weren't part of the study. Florence
right.
wasn't Cottage
but Grove. But if he was bringing back different comparison. Would that not be, or is that a problem?
I can't go back. I mean, unless you directed staff to go back and reopen the study with Portland State, I can't add to it or subtract from it.
But, yeah.
Now,
so we couldn't get more data like that without going through another process. But
we could do the calling, you know, like.
Yeah.
But statistically, though, I just want to say this group is, we are in this group. I mean, I have. When I look out and, you know, council has passed a lot of fiscal policies and, you know, I brought a lot of things to you over the years, this committee, to compare to other cities. This is what everybody else is doing. These are the same, you know, cities that I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
So statistically, this list, you know, I look down this list and I say, yeah, these are the ones that are comparable to Junction City because they have, maybe they have a small police department like we do, or they have, you know, a building inspector. I mean, they have the same services and they're going to be kind of at the same level that we are, give or take, you know, on the average.
This isn't, where is Wood Village, do you know? I'm just curious.
I think it's
like by Gresham.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting there looking at it, I'm like,
I was going to look that up actually.
Yeah, well, that's a good comment. I mean, I think it's an interesting comment because, you know, even though this is the group we're in, there's still a lot of variety within the group. I mean, we're all quite a bit bigger than Wood Village or Harrisburg. I mean, we're maybe 20 or 30% bigger, so. But I see what you're saying. We're still in the 4,000 to 7,000 people category, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. I see your pencil working over there.
Well, I just want another suggestion is you mentioned percentiles. We could look at that. Like I'm on A16 again. The percentage of difference from average. And what if we just said if they could just get us to average on the minimum, medium, and max, or just like you said. For instance, it would be 10.2, 15.9, and 20.3. That if we just said, okay, if we just took those up to the average, what's that going to cost us?
That would be a way of looking at it.
And they could do that way. They could do the same thing for every position because it's all already based off the position.
Yeah. That would give us
makes sense.
Because I was really disappointed to see how far out, you know, we were, how far out away from average we were in some positions.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, what do you think of that, Councillor Thomas?
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that'd be a...
I don't know if it's reasonable with...
It would be a good start.
No, I think that would be a good option. Yeah, for one of, I mean, I would encourage you to come up with maybe a couple more.
Well, and then came up with the being a percentile, too.
Yeah, maybe a couple of percentiles. Do you want to use 80%? I was going to suggest
population wise, we're in the 80 to 100% compared to these other cities. If we're at 7,000 now, we're actually the biggest city on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why I'm kind of leaning towards the higher end. If our guys have a bigger responsibility because there's more people, then I think in this grouping, I think we. Would kind of like to see what would look like being at near the top of the scale.
But I think also in population, these other cities have probably increased their pop and increased their resident count population count, similar to numbers that we have.
I think we should, I think we should know that, right. That's why I asked that question about percentage compared to population, you know, because I do think these jobs should be tied to our population. You know, if you have a bigger city, hopefully your police chief is doing more stuff. Your public works director has more responsibility. So I do think there should be some, I'd like to see some of that information. And an updated population list would be the first place to start there, you know.
Okay.
So we just, what, the state just gave you, is that why you know our numbers? It was published?
Yeah, they actually come from another department at Portland State University. They're the, whatever you call it, designated statisticians for the state.
So, maybe we could get that from them. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we can.
You know, for these cities, like John's asking for. And if it's great, if it's one source, and, you know, it's not like they'd have to do a lot of work just to, they could just run a spreadsheet and put in the right cities and send it to
you. I'll do that myself. Ask them for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's available. I access that fairly often.
See, and then I guess what I'm saying is I'd like to see that and see that by percentile, which I think we're going to be at the top. And then I'd like to see what, because we're just asking for information here. It doesn't commit us to we can't commit the city council.
No.
We're just trying to get some information, right?
Mm-hmm. We just want good information, and we're trying to absorb a lot of information.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part.
So I'd like to see, based on percentile population, what our jobs would look like if they matched the same percentile, you know. So maybe 80% is one number, but then whatever the percentile we are in the population category would be another number. I'd like to see the budget impact of just to have it out there. So those are a couple of suggestions I'd make just to kind of gather more information, but like I'm open to whatever else too. So
I was thinking, so you mentioned kind of the size of those negative percentages and kind of how you were surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that, and some of these, that cost, like say if you were going to get them to zero, I don't really have an opinion or an idea of what that number might be, but I'm fearful of what it could be, tell you the truth, in dollars. But I think your number one option to get that percentage to zero, I think that would be a good one. I was going to suggest one of your levels could be at the 50th percentile, because that would put us in the middle. I'm not sure if that would be much different than getting the percentage to zero. Those might be a similar number.
Average might be around 50th percentile.
Maybe, yeah. They're not calculated the same, though, so
exactly.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But you could pick, anyway, a couple of percentiles, maybe, you know, if you wanted 80, that could be one. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just going to be a formula in my spreadsheet.
It's a place to start. Some number is a place to start.
And yeah. If you want to add a few, it's just another formula. You know, if you want 50 and you want 80 and you want maybe something in between, you know, maybe you want 70. You know, that'd be fine too.
Yeah, I just really like the idea of seeing some, a variety of numbers and then having some more discussion on it, so.
Well, would it be just as easy if you also went, like you just mentioned, maybe we should have median and average?
Well, I will bring, whatever I bring back, I'll have to think about the format, but I did think about that a little bit, that whatever, you know, this committee or the council does in the future is going to have to be applied across the wage scale. I mean, you can't just apply it to minimum or maximum.
Right, it's got to be across the whole.
It has to
all
be.
Three. Yep.
Yeah, you take up the whole range for that particular right. job is the way it works. But anyway, that's just some of the mechanics of it. So do I, is there agreement on those percentiles? Do you want the 50, say 70 and 80?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, is that fine?
That's fine.
That's going to give you, yeah, four different ones. And then you can look at how those would be applied to each position, because I'm not sure that when you start looking at the numbers by position, I'm not sure, you know, how that's going to play out, because some of these are, you know, bigger percentages than others, bigger negative numbers, so.
Right, yeah. It would be interesting to see that.
Yeah. So, okay.
One other thing I wanted to just comment on, which I thought was kind of interesting, which is that depending on where the people in these different positions in our city started, some of them may have had some increase just by nature of moving up from minimum to maximum over this 10 to 12 year period, 13 years that we haven't reviewed this. So hopefully there has been some movement I hope all of them were at the maximum 13 years ago is what I'm saying. I hope some of them had some upward movement in their pay just by nature of moving through the progression within the system. Because if they were all at the maximum 13 years ago, that'd be a lot of years to not have any increase. So, but I think some of them probably started at a different level and did have some increase over the 13 years. So, in addition to the cost of living thing that you explained. So,
yeah.
But either way, it's still the right time to review it again, and I'm glad we're doing it. So, any other comments on this point for right now?
When do you think the staff will be able to get this information back? Would it be January or would it be less than?
Well, what I was going to suggest was that for the January meeting, that this be the only agenda item on that meeting's agenda, and that I would bring back some tables or something to answer your questions and give you these answers. Because also, of course, budget season
yep.
for me has already started. But if you wanted to make a change, timing-wise, yeah, we'd want to keep moving on this. And this information gets, you know, stale. I mean, if we put it off another year.
Yeah, yeah, because then you're right, then this data isn't that necessarily up to date.
So in terms of timing with this budget, I was thinking that if this committee made a recommendation, it went to council in January or even February, that it would still work out to get it in the next year's budget. So
the timing's good on it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's fine.
Good, good. I just want to make sure we weren't pushing staff to get it by January.
Yeah.
Because I know that you're busy right now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, and that took us right into our discussion about the agenda forecaster. So any other comments on agenda forecaster? Because personally, I'd be fine with that being our agenda item in January. Any other comments on that?
I know, how Katie is, when she'll be ready to present the public records policy update. I know that's a...
Well, I talked to her today, and she assured me that she is going to come to this committee with not only that, but probably a couple other items that she has that she's working on.
Okay.
On her item that you have now on your forecaster right now, she's mentioned that there's been some changes, and I don't know if it's with legal or exactly where it is, but it's still moving forward in the background. So I expect you will see her here.
Okay, so then
pretty soon.
It's not something she needs to get to us right away. I mean, we could wait till February or.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, she'll let me know when she's ready and she. She'll make a request to get scheduled, and I'll bring that to her.
Because I looked at that one, I knew that one when we discussed it before, and I just wanted to make sure we weren't holding her up.
Yeah, nope. Nope, it's on her end.
Okay.
So.
Good. Okay, well, committee member comments. I didn't mean to skip that, but since we were already talking about the agenda forecasters, any comments from the committee members?
I just want to say thank you for the people that show up to take an interest, and thank you to Mike for all the work and all of this, how you help us understand things, because sometimes it's a little hard to get through to us. Yeah. So thank you for that, because I know it's not easy.
And I'm glad to see that we as a committee, and we as with Mike and the people in the audience, this affects a lot of people in our city. And they're all hardworking, good people. And I hope that, you know, this shows them that we value them and we want to take the time to do it right. And then we also have to look at what's right for the city. But I mean, we're doing that, and I appreciate that. And I think I like our approach.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I echo everybody's comments. It was a good discussion tonight. So, 7:45, 7:46, we're adjourning the meeting. Thank you for being here.
Here's the thing, John, that I thought.